Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 400, the stanzas 1, 4, and 5. Hallelujah, praise Jehovah. O my soul, Jehovah, praise. I will sing the glorious praises of my God through all my days. And what follows, Psalter 400, the stanzas 1, 4, and 5. The portion out of God's holy word which we wish to read together, can be found in Genesis 3. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Genesis 3. And now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. And sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. And the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil, and now lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden, to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Well, let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, when by renewal on this day in thy house we attempt to open our unclean lips, then it behooves us to humble ourselves deeply before thy highest majesty, where thou art of pure eyes, than that thou canst behold evil. Lord, then it behooves us to confess our sins, which are great and manifold, then outfitting each time by renewal the prayer of the publican, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Because if thou would enter into judgment with us and our children who can stand, then we can expect nothing than death and eternal condemnation. But, our Lord, also in this evening hour, that we may still have a place under thy word and eternal testimony, then by renewal thou art declaring that thou hast no desire in the death of the sinner, but therein that they should live and turn unto thee. Lord, we read in the scriptures of a king that was entrapped in a city, and that has sent his servants and that they were given to give heed to the words of the king of Israel, because the kings of Israel were merciful kings, and then they were given to catch his words. Oh, may such souls have come up in this evening hour with a need and with a desire, oh, with a prayer that thy word may be blessed. Lord, we have heard in this morning the blessed portion of the sheep of the good shepherd, and then by renewal we humbly beg of thee that their number may be increased, that it may be multiplied, that thy word may be blessed to that end in this evening hour, that sons and daughters may be born in Zion, and that also thy children, that they may receive further instruction. Lord, do bless thy holy word. Ah, thou hast promised it, that it shall not return void unto thee, and that by the foolishness of preaching, that thou shalt save some. To that end, wilt thou bless the manifold labors in the church on the Lord's day during the week, the instruction given to the catechism classes, the confession of faith class, and also the house visitations. Bless thy holy word in the midst of the family circles, and bless thy holy word in the midst of our Christian school. Thou hast granted in the past week that the annual meeting has taken place. Then we commend unto thee the school board, those that have been re-elected to their positions. Wilt thou be their helper ever near, and that all the labors may be blessed. Lord, we commend unto thee thy church upon the face of the earth in these dark and solemn times under the judgments of the Lord. May thy word be richly blessed. The persecuted church, do remember and uphold them. The church in the countries where there is turmoil, where there is war, do remember them. Take off the veil from the Jewish nation. Remember all mission work, also our mission field. When in this week, when the mission board hopes to meet, wilt thou gather with them, and may it please thee to supply the manifold needs. Lord, the need is great. More servants for thy vineyard, a church worker for our mission field, and more teachers for our Christian schools. We commend unto thee the nations of the earth. Wilt thou remember our nation, federally, provincially? Remember the leaders, ah, Lord. They also have a soul for eternity. Oh, may it please thee to open their eyes, that they may be given to see. And then thy word shall be opened, and the knee shall be bowed. Lord, remember all the governments of the cities, of the towns, also of this town. Wilt thou remember our community? Ah, do pour out thy Holy Spirit in the realm of nature. Then thou grantest that the wind is given to blow. Oh, the bride is prayed, blow thou south wind. And come thou north, blow upon my garden, that the spices may flow forth. Oh, with an invitation to the bridegroom, that he may come to eat of his pleasant fruits. Lord, remembered the many temporal needs, the old mother in the hospital. Ah, be mindful of her. May the means be blessed, that in due time she may return to our care home. And then thou wert speaking to her in a special way in her old age, my daughter. Give me thy heart, ah, Lord. May it please thee to convert her in her old age. Remember her with her dear husband. Wilt thou remember all of our elderly ones in the care home, those that may go in and out. Wilt thou remember all the mourning ones. Remember all the sick and afflicted ones, the sick relatives. The different circumstances are known unto thee. We commend unto thee the handicapped ones, and then we commend unto thee a young daughter in our midst, who hopes to commemorate in this week that thou wast added an other year unto her years, ah, Lord. Many a times her thought shall multiply. Were in her life bodily, it is so different than other young people, undoubtedly at times discouraged and overwhelmed, but may she be given then to bow her knees and to tell thee everything and to ask for strength and courage and above all for that one thing needful. Remember her father with that dreaded disease, where in the coming time treatments are planned. Lord, wilt thou also remember him with his dear wife, the family circle, that the callings may be sanctified. Remember all our family circles, may love abound. When it has become different, wilt thou grant repentance. What has been separated, bring it together. Remember those that are struggling with temptations and addictions. Ah, may it please thee to deliver them while it can yet and while it may yet. May it please thee to provide the daily bread for our family circles. Lord, in this evening hour, may our eyes be upon thee. Ah, give a few words to speak. Give ears to hear, hearts to perceive. Oh, come down with thy spirit. Go from bench to bench and from heart to heart. Take away everything that could be a hindrance, and may the outgoing of this service be that thy name is glorified, that thy kingdom may come. Pardon us of all of our transgressions, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Psalter 438, the stanzas 1 and 3. The spacious heavens, Lord, the glory of our God, with full majestic praise, the open firmament, and what follows, Psalter 438, the stanzas 1 and 3. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 3, the question and answer 6, 7, and 8. Question 6. Did God then create man so wicked and perverse? Answer, by no means. But God created man good and after his own image and true righteousness and holiness, that he might rightly know God, his creator, heartily love him and live with him in eternal happiness, to glorify and praise him. Question 7. Whence then proceeds this depravity of human nature? Answer, from the fall and disobedience of our first parents, Adam and Eve, in paradise. Hence our nature is become so corrupt that we are all conceived and born in sin. Question 8. Are we then so corrupt that we are wholly incapable of doing any good and inclined to all wickedness? Answer, indeed we are, except we are regenerated by the Spirit of God. Lord's Day number 3 speaks of 3 questions concerning man's wickedness and perverseness. First, concerning God's creation. Secondly, concerning man's deep fall. And thirdly, concerning our incapability. 3 questions concerning man's wickedness and perverseness. Concerning God's creation, concerning man's deep fall, and concerning our incapability. Thus first, concerning God's creation. Beloved congregation, what is thy only comfort in life and death? 'Tis necessary that by the grace of God, that becomes our concern. The question, how may a goat now become a sheep? What do those true sheep of the Good Shepherd experience? Because when the Lord works, then that people have a desire to hear how the Lord leads his sheep, that they may be given to examine themselves, that they may receive comfort, encouragement, instruction. And then we have heard that those sheep, that they are given to learn 3 special matters. A knowledge of our misery, the way of deliverance, and how the sheep show gratitude to God for such deliverance. Then in Lord's Day number 2, we have heard of the origin of our misery. Then boys and girls, you can remember it, that the law was as a mirror, and then we need eyes and light to see who we are. Thus, to make it simple for our children, then in Lord's Day number 2, then we had someone that was sick that went to the physician. let's say a boy or girl, much pain, not feeling well, when they look in the mirror, very pale, then they are given to see that something is very wrong. Maybe father and mother have sat up the whole night, given their son and daughter Tylenol, but not better, and to that end, they have went to the physician. And then the doctor has inspected, examined themselves, maybe taken an X-ray, a CAT scan, and that father and mother with a girl or boy are sitting in the waiting room, wondering what the doctor will say. Maybe such a son and daughter will say, father and mother, do you think it is very serious? Do you think maybe that they have to die? Because children, you know what it is to die. Then we appear before the Lord, and of course, if we may be a little lamb, then at our death, then we are taken into heaven. But if we have not received the new heart, then we must go to hell. And now on Lord's Day 2, to make it simple for our children, then the doctor has come into the room. And then the son or daughter is given to see that the doctor has a very solemn and a sad expression on his face, and that he begins to speak, and that he says, boy or girl, you are very serious. You have a very serious disease, because we have heard it the last Lord's Day. For I am prone by nature to hate God and my neighbor. Thus, what a serious message. Oh, then surely such a boy or girl, when they would dare to ask the doctor, they would say, doctor, do you think that I am so sick that I must die? Or is there a way that I may be healed? That we hope to hear at the end of this Lord's Day. Thus, in this Lord's Day, as it were, then we picture father and mother with their son or daughter sitting in the waiting room to receive further instruction. And what an awful thing it would be in that time of waiting if that boy or girl would say, father or mother, is it your fault that I am so sick? Have you perhaps poisoned me? That would be a terrible thing. And that is what this Lord's Day speaks of, that a sinner, inclined, prone by nature to hate God and my neighbor, that they are so bold and that they dare to find the fault with God. Prone by nature to hate God and my neighbor does not say that we all do it, does not say we may do it, does not give reason for excuse. But our instructor is given to speak of our existence. Jonathan Edwards has even stated in a certain place, if fallen mankind could get at God, he would kill him and dethrone him. That is our existence. And now it is the restraining hand of the Lord. That is also a wonder. For so many people, they tell us, soon 8 billion approximately, 8 billion people upon this earth who all by nature are prone to hate God and my neighbor, that we have not destroyed ourselves. Sometime there is spoken with all the weapons and the technology that man shall destroy this world, but it can and it shall never be, because I read in the word of God that the Lord reigneth, and not mankind shall destroy this world, but this world shall continue to exist, and the Lord shall still grant that restraining hand, that family circles may still dwell in love, the churches, and that for the purpose of all purposes, that is, church must and shall be gathered, and when the last one is converted, then immediately we shall hear the sound of the trumpet, and then we shall be called to appear. The living shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and all the grave shall be opened, and then Christ shall judge the quick and the dead. We read in Genesis 6 verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Question 6. Did God then create man so wicked and perverse? We have stated a very daring and a very bold question. On the other hand, then in this Lord's Day, then Lord's Day number 2 was not forgotten. How has that been with us and our children? When we have heard, canst thou keep all these things perfectly? In no wise. For I am prone by nature to hate God and my neighbor. Have there been souls that have been exercised with that answer, troubled with that answer, an impression of the exceeding sinfulness of our sin, with a desire to please God and to experience all this heart, the inclinations, broaden our knees, oh, to be given to beg, Lord, wilt thou now cleanse me, take all that evil away, that I may please thee, that I may live for thy honor and for thy glory. And did God then create man so wicked and perverse? By no means, but God created man good. The evolutionist, and that poison has been sown in our society, in our schools, for already a long time. And the evolutionist, not only a denial of the inspired word of God, what we read in the first chapters of Genesis, but it goes much deeper. Because the evolutionists say that everything has evolved, that we have come from the animals, from a monkey. Thus the evolutionist makes no distinction between an animal and man, denying that man has been created in the likeness and image of God, created perfectly. Then further, the evolutionists deny the deep fall in Adam, because the evolutionist that speaks of millions of years, that implies that before the deep fall in Adam, our covenant head, because the birds and the fishes, they were created on the fifth day, then the evolutionist tells us that there was death before that Adam has fallen. And we read so clearly in God's word that perfect God cannot be different, that out of his hand a perfect world and also Adam and Eve have come forth. But it is even a deeper attack upon the work of a triune God, because when we deny our deep fallen Adam, then we obscure, then we deny the necessity of the glorious gospel as it is in Jesus Christ. Because when there was no fall, the first Adam, then it was not necessary for the second Adam to come upon the earth that a church may be saved. Thus the evolutionist, that is an attack upon the work of a triune God. But now the instructors, did God then create man so wicked and perverse? It is a daring question, but all young and old, what a wise there can be in our life, also concerning the degree, the sovereignty, the will of God. But now where our instructors have stated, by no means, but God created man good and after his own image we read thereof. In Genesis 1 verse 26 and 27, after his image and in his likeness. And now when we speak of the image of God, then it is necessary that we make a difference between an image of resemblance and an express image. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the express image of his Father, because we read in Hebrews 1 verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, a co-eternal and co-essential. But now concerning Adam and Eve, they were not a perfect image, because then they would be God, but they are an image of resemblance. If we think, when we have a picture of our father and mother, that shows us the outward appearance, but it does not tell us their thoughts and their desires. Thus we could speak of an image of resemblance. And so it was with Adam and Eve. And then we have learned in catechism, created in the image of God. And that consists, our young people know it, our older ones, that consist of knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. And that knowledge has become very evident where Adam has given the names to animals according to their character. He has given a name to his wife. When we consider that knowledge, then we must distinguish, because of course, it was only in part, because it is impossible that a human being can fathom perfectly and fully the knowledge of a triune God. But that knowledge was sufficient that he may know God, to praise and glorify him. And to that end we read in this answer, that he might rightly know God, his creator, heartily love him, and live with him in eternal happiness to glorify and praise him. Oh, when Adam and Eve, when they were created, they were given to walk in that sweet communion, Lord, with thee. They were given to glorify their creator and benefactor. Then in the second place, then we read of righteousness. When we speak of knowledge, then we speak of the prophetical office. When we speak of righteousness, then we refer to the priestly office. That as well was perfectly conformable to the will of God, and that there was a perfect relationship, that there stood nothing in between. All holiness is King, the purity, the perfect purity, even of his thoughts. Oh, that blessed creation for an Adam and an Eve, when they were given to walk in that perfect communion, where there was no pain, no cares, no fears, and no worries. And the Lord has created our parents that they were unable to stand. Oh, that first Sabbath day for Adam and Eve as husband and wife, what that must have been. But our second thought concerning man's deep fall, whence then proceeds this depravity of human nature from the fall and disobedience of our first parents, Adam and Eve, in paradise. This is called the deep fall. Different reasons. Falling from the greatest blessedness to the deepest misery. Fallen from that perfect joy and communion to a terrible separation. Then further, we read in this answer the fallen disobedience in our next Lord's Day. Then there is also mentioned the instigation of the devil. Our deep fallen Adam can be many questions. We cannot understand it. We cannot fathom it. We all had those questions in our hearts, young and old. We hope to hear more of those matters in the coming Lord's Day. We cannot fathom how it was possible in heaven, where there is perfection. That is where the first sin has been committed. Then the devil has risen up against the Lord, cast out of heaven, and we read in Jude 6, kept in everlasting chains till the final day. And then the devil, he was given to see the happiness of Adam and Eve. And then he sought revenge. To say it reverently, he could not get a God in heaven. But then he thought he would strike at the jewel of creation. Devilish revenge. Revenge against God and a desire. The devil, to say it simply, could not stand that Adam and Eve, God's perfect creation, that they were so happy and so joyful, and the devil so miserable. The devils can never be saved, reserved for everlasting punishment. And then the devil was given to see that Adam and Eve were so happy. And then he has used the serpent, to say it simply, for our children. Then Satan has crawled into the serpent and spoke through the serpent. And then Satan has chosen the place, the time, and the opportunity. And Satan still works the same. For among us and our children, among fallen mankind, then how was Satan begun? He has come with a question. Whether their master, whether the Lord, whether he was really such a good and merciful God. Try to picture the Lord as a hard master. Has God said ye may not eat of any of the trees of the garden? How unfair. How wrong. Lord has never said it. The Lord has placed Adam and Eve, we think of it, first prepared the garden, everything provided, and then he has placed Adam and Eve in that garden to keep it. And there were many trees. It was a fruitful garden. They may eat of all the trees except one. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And now Satan has come. The Lord is hard. That you may not eat of that one tree. Satan still works the same. Also, especially for our young people. Then he tries to make you believe that the service of the Lord is a hard service. And that if the Lord converts you, that you may not do anything. That you cannot be happy. You may not rejoice. But the devil is a liar from the beginning. Proved in the chapter that we have read together. And then what has taken place? Then Eve, what should have she done? Why did the devil tempt Eve when she was alone? Called a weaker vessel. The covenant was made specifically with her covenant head. Thus waited for the time when she was alone and in the vicinity of the tree. And then Eve has begun. What should have Eve have done? Because she has received the head that was a spokesman. She should have hurried to her head and told what has happened. But she did not do that. And she starts speaking with Satan. Oh, young and old, once we start arguing with the devil, Lord can do wonders. But then we are on dangerous ground. The second Adam, when he was tempted in Matthew 4, then what has Christ three times spoken? Thus saith the Lord, has come with the word of the Lord. And then Satan has become bolder. Maybe there are people that are struggling with temptations, with the whispering of Satan, that he presents sin so beautiful. And with many arguments, oh, how necessary, that then we come on our knees and beg the Lord that we may be delivered. And now Satan has become bolder. And Satan said unto Eve, that ye shall not die. And then Eve, then she has looked at that fruit. She desired that fruit. And she has taken. And what then? Then her conscience was speaking. And then she began to do the work the same as the devil. So the devil was miserable. He had a desire that Adam and Eve would be just as miserable. And therefore Eve, she has taken of that fruit and went to her husband and gave him into eat. And he did eat. Whence then proceeds this depravity of human nature from the fall and disobedience of our first parents, Adam and Eve, in paradise. Hence our nature is become so corrupt. It was a great sin. It was against God's command. It was against His goodness. It was a sin of pride. It was a sin of transgression. It was a sin of covetousness. It was a sin against all the commandments of the Lord. Our deep fall in Adam, and that consists of blindness, that man does not realize by nature how deeply he has fallen. Man has come into strong delusion, still hoping that it is not so bad, not believing what the Lord has said, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Man has received the hardness of heart, the greatest judgment that can come upon a people. Man has been given over to vile affections. Necessary that we are given to us daily for ourselves and for our fellow travelers, that the Lord by His restraining hand may keep us, that He leaves us not over to ourselves, that we live in what lives in our heart. Hence, our nature is become so corrupt that we are all conceived and born in sin. That speaks of original sin. Lord's Day number 2. That spoke more of actual sin. But now original sin. And that consists of guilt. That first sin of Adam, not all the sins of Adam, but that sin of taking of that forbidden fruit, that sin is imputed to us and our children. David has said in Psalm 51, conceived and born in sin, and to that end, a little child comes guilty, is guilty already in the womb, comes guilty upon the earth with that sin of Adam. And in the second place, then it consists of the pollution. That is the pollution that is inherited from the parents. We read in Genesis 5, when it speaks of the generations of Adam, that concerning Adam, in the likeness of God made he man. But in verse 3, we read that he bore a son in the image of Adam. We read in Psalm 58, verse 3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born speaking lies. Let us first sing. Psalter 138, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Thus speaks the Lord to wicked men, my statutes why do ye declare? Why take my covenant in your mouth, since ye for wisdom do not care? And what follows, Psalter 138, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4.
Thank you.
Three questions concerning man's wickedness and perverseness. Concerning God's creation, concerning man's deep fall, and now thirdly, concerning our incapability. Then in these Lord's days, we read many different words to describe what we have become. We read the word wicked, perverse, depravity, corrupt, incapable of any good, and wickedness. There are people that become upset when the depravity of human nature is too broadly laid out, especially Pharisees. But the Lord has a people upon the earth. When a little may be explained, that they are given to say the half has not been told what all comes up in the natural heart. Then in this Lord's day, then our instructors already in this Lord's day, then they are given to give a blow to the Armenian and the Remonstrant who declare that in fallen man there is still some good. A free will, when it concerns our salvation and the glory of God, whether fallen man still has a free will, then the instructors, they deal a blow to such, because they are given to declare according to the word of God. The question is, are we then so corrupt that we are wholly incapable of doing any good and inclined to all wickedness? And then the answer is, indeed we are. The Pelagian, the Remonstrant, they tell us that man is sick. But I read in Ephesians 2 verse 1, but you hath he quickened, who were dead in sins and in trespasses. Then in this Lord's day, then the instructors are given to extol free and sovereign grace that a wonder needs to take place. I read in Jeremiah 13 verse 23, can an Ethiopian change his skin, or a leper his spots? So may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. Oh, then we may say with the Job, and with Job it was concerning the providence of God. But when we consider our deep fall, the glory, the happiness of Adam and Eve, oh, that I were as months past, as in the day when God preserved me, when his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness. The secret of God was upon my tabernacle, when the Almighty was yet with me. Indeed, we are. And how do we now live with that answer, congregation? Indeed, we are incapable of doing any good, dead in sins and trespasses, lost under a threefold death. Are we still busy hope to hear more of those arguments that come up in the heart in the next Lord's Day. But are we still busy arguing with the Lord, refusing to bow under His word? Can also be that we become discouraged, that we become careless, that we become rebellious. What is now necessary? That by the grace of God, that we are given to own our guilt, confess that we are guilty, we hope to hear more of in Lord's Day number 4. And now you remember, boys and girls, we have begun with the doctor's waiting room, that the doctor has come and given a very sad report that the patient is very sick, not only part of his body, then it perhaps could be cut out, but that the body is sick, that the bite, the poison of the serpent that has permeated her whole body from the top of her head to the bottom of our feet, that we are totally diseased, and that it is a disease of such a nature that the disease will cause us to die. And then the question shall be, is there now any way that such a sick person, bitten by the serpent, wholly incapable of doing any good, inclined to all evil, to hate God and my neighbor, is there now any way that such a patient may be healed, may be saved, and may live? And then in this Lord's Day, then the answer is impossible, unless a wonder takes place, unless the Lord performs a wonder in our life. Thus in this Lord's Day, then a hope is given that there is a possibility for such a deathly sick patient that he may be perfectly healed. Then a wonder must take place. And that is, except we are regenerated by the Spirit of God. And now it is necessary for such a patient that he does not rest in that possibility that gives hope, but such a patient that is so deathly sick, with only one step between him and death, then it is necessary that that patient experience that wonder. Thus such a sick patient shall not say, the doctor has said, it shall be well when a wonder takes place, and then to be satisfied with that explanation. But then such a patient shall be given to beg that such a wonder may take place, because otherwise the patient must die. Thus in this Lord's Day, then hope is given that we and our children do not have to despair, because we have to do with the wonder-doing God. And I read in Ezekiel 36 that the Lord will be inquired of Israel to do it for them. And now we are given to see that the instructors of our Heidelberg Catechism, that they have been led clearly in the ways of the Lord. Because in Lord's Day number 2, then we do not read that expression and of that hope of regeneration that is explained in Lord's Day number 3. And there is a people that know the reason. In Lord's Day number 2, then there is spoken of our actual sins. When the Lord works by His Spirit, then we are given to experience the exceeding sinfulness thereof, that we have sinned against such a just and a good-doing God. And when we are regenerated, born again, such a soul cannot always give it a name, but they know it has become different. When we are given to see the sinfulness of sin and that godly sorrow, then we do our best to change, reform our life, that we may grieve the Lord no more. And concerning our actual sins, ah, what a begging. And what a promises there can be. Lord, have now a little more patience with me. And at times it seems that in the life of such a soul, it goes quite well. But by the deeper uncovering, nevertheless, when a soul is only exercised with her actual sins, then there is still a certain hope, although at times that hope becomes very small, that they may please the Lord. But now on this Lord's Day, when it concerns our original sin, then the sinner is given to learn that they not only commit sin, but through their original sin, that they are nothing but sin, that the root is corrupt, and to that end, the tree cannot and shall never bring forth fruit that shall satisfy the law and the justice of God. Then their hope perishes. And to that end, for a people for whom it becomes impossible, then already the instructors are given to declare that there is a way that we may be saved and restored into that blessed communion with the Lord, that we may be given to praise and glorify Him. And thus in this Lord's Day, we read of John the Baptist in Matthew 3, that he is said to the hearers, O generation of vipers. Thus John the Baptist was calling that Jewish people poisonous snakes. Not such a nice address, who has warned thee to flee from the wrath to come. And then in the 10th verse, then he has declared those solemn words that the axe is laid at the root of the tree, a root that is completely rotten and corrupt. And therefore, every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire, the necessity of regeneration. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may thank Thee for another Lord's Day, yet a few simple words to speak, albeit with many shortcomings. We have heard of solemn things in this evening hour. May we not leave the message on the bench. May we take it home. May we come on our knees and tell thee what we have heard, but also the wonder of regeneration. To that end, the world may still stand. To that end, thy word must still be proclaimed, because thou wast promised to work by word and by spirit, Lord. Do then a great work amongst us. Blow with thy spirit the north wind to uncover, and the south wind of consolation. We may commence another week. Wilt thou graciously watch over us? Bring us together tomorrow evening, when we hope to remember the wonders which thou hast done in the days of old, where thou hast led thy church out of the house of bondage, where thy wonderful light of the gospel may shine in the churches and may enter many a hearts. Ah, Lord, the necessity in our dark and evil time, that there may be another reformation. Thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. We commend unto thee the mothers at home with the children, the daytime, the night watches. Remember the mothers with the unborn. We remember all those whom are called to work during the night, their care home, the medical field, those that work in the field of emergency and other places. Wilt thou watch over them? Wilt thou now bring us safely to our dwellings and watch over us in this night? Wilt thou keep us from sin and temptation? Forgive us of all of our sins also in this day, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 142, the stanzas 2 and 3. I am evil born in sin, thou desirest truth within, thou alone my Savior art. Teach thy wisdom to my heart. And what follows, Psalter 142, the stanzas 2 and 3. I receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.